Good morning.
Good morning.
If that music doesn't put you in the mood to celebrate Christmas, well, right? Well, we welcome you today on Sunday after Christmas, but we're celebrating it as our Christmas Day observance here at Peace. And so welcome those who are here in person and those who are joining us through our webcast. We'll be using a special order service that we normally do for Christmas Day. It's one that has more songs and hymns responding to the lessons and Christmas songs, so we have a chance to sing more of them than we normally would be able to. So with that, I invite you to rise, and we begin with singing hymn 34, verses 1 through 3, Now Sing We Now Rejoice, hymn 34. Almighty and merciful Father,
we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts. But we have offended you and sinned against your holy law. We have done those things that we should not have done, and we have not done those things that we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us, according to your promises in Christ Jesus.
God, our merciful Father, has forgiven all our sins. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Redeemer and Savior. Jesus paid the penalty of our guilt by his death on the cross and freed us from death by his resurrection from the grave. We have peace with God now and forever.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord with hymn 61, verses 1 and 3. Hark the herald angels sing. Hymn 61. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that the birth of your Son in the flesh may set us free from our old bondage under the yoke of sin. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. First lesson for this festival of Christmas, the Nativity of our Lord, Christmas Day, Exodus 33 and 34. These are right up there, my favorite Old Testament scripture. For here, God proclaims the significance, the meaning, the implication of the name Yahweh in response to Moses' request to see him. And then God says, "You can't see me, but I'll make a way for you to see a glimpse of me." All the more marvel when we consider God has made a way for us to see the Son of God in the flesh. Then Moses said, "Please show me your glory." The Lord said, "I will make all my goodness pass in front of you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord in your presence. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy." He said, "You cannot see my face, for no human may see me and live." The Lord also said, "Look, there's a place next to me where you shall stand on the rock. It will happen that while my glory passes by, I will put you in a crevice in the rock. I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you will see my back, but my face will not be seen." Then he continued as the Lord fulfills this. The Lord came down in a cloud. He took his stand there with Moses and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and overflowing with mercy and truth, maintaining mercy for thousands, forgiving rebellion, guilt and rebellion and sin. He will by no means clear the guilty. He calls their children and their children's children to account for the guilt of the fathers, even to the third and fourth generation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For our psalm today, we'll sing hymn 36, verses 1, 2, and 5, A Great and Mighty Wonder. Hymn 36. The second lesson, Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 8th chapter, 2 verses. These verses will be considered in our sermon today. What then will we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Indeed, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things along with him? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We respond with Psalm 40, hymn 49. Rejoice, rejoice this happy morn. Gospel for Christmas Day, John chapter 1. It will be interspersed with the singing of the hymn of the day, Of the Father's Love Begotten. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him everything was made, and without him not one thing was made that had been made. In him was life, the life that was the light of mankind. The light is shining in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as an eyewitness to testify about the light so that everyone would believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The real light that shines on everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, yet his own people did not accept him. But to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. They were born not of blood, or of the desire of the flesh, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory he has had as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him. He cried out, "This was the one I spoke about when I said, 'The one coming after me outranks me because he existed before me.' From out of his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only begotten Son, who is close to the Father's side, has made him known." This is the gospel. Grace, mercy, and peace are poured out on us from God the Father through the one he gave, our Savior Jesus. The word of God we consider today is our second lesson, Romans, the 8th chapter. Please be seated. My dear friends, brothers and sisters, and the one who was born to save us. Have you unwrapped all your Christmas gifts? Are you sure? Did you thoroughly check to make sure there wasn't one hidden under the tree? Or maybe that there was even another gift or part of a gift that was hidden inside the package you opened? It'd be a real shame to miss the whole gift the giver intended to give you. But it would be even more of a shame if we were not careful and opened all of God's Christmas gift. You see, it's very easy for us to be so impressed with God's greatest gift that we just stop there. And you've heard Christians say that. I know Jesus was born to shed his blood on the cross to save me so that I could be a child of God forever. That's such a great gift. Who needs anything more? I mean, after all, I know that all you have to do is believe in Jesus, that he died for you, and you get to go to heaven. Isn't that all you need? Well, it is indeed God's greatest gift. But if God has all kinds of other gifts that are supposed to come through that, Wouldn't it be a horrible shame to ignore them? Wouldn't you want to at least be curious what the other gifts are that God has for us? That's precisely what Paul is encouraging the Christians in Rome and the Christians throughout all times to consider. He exhorts us to think, consider, and grasp God's full package of gifts that come with Christmas. And to do that, we need to take time. Take time to do it. Take time to fully unwrap and to treasure God's Christmas gifts. Plural. Where does he challenge us to do this? He does it with a series of six challenging questions. The first one begins our text. What then shall we say about these things? You see, he is challenging Christians to think, consider, and grasp the significance and the source of these things, all that goes with them. Well, that raises the question, what are these things that he's talking about? Well, the immediate context is a Bible passage that I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, know and greatly appreciate. We may not have considered what comes immediately after. Begin with verse 28, Paul writes, "We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose." Don't stop there. He tells us why we know that. "Because those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that we would be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified." These things are included along with others that we'll consider later when Paul says, "What then shall we say about these things?" When you look at them, it's very clear. God has been and continues to give gifts to those who love him. That is, to those in whom his word has created faith to know his love and therefore to love. So he continues with the second of his questions, challenging questions. If God is for us, who can be against us? Again, this question challenges us to think, to consider, and to grasp the things that God has prepared for us. To consider that here we have God, the Father, the source of all things, the ruler of all things, the one who protects his children, the one who has promised us through Jesus that no one can ever pluck us out of his hand. While we there may be many things in this world that rise up to be against us, the fact of the matter is that we are safe and secure with God. What a contrast this is to the gods of the Romans. For those are gods that the people picked. The God of heaven and earth has picked us. And when you consider that, how can anything possibly oppose us, whom God has loved? So we continue with the third challenging question with the introduction. "Indeed, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things along with him?" You see, the implied question, the other, is obviously nothing can take us away from God. Obviously, nothing can stand against him. And he affirms that very clearly, adding fuel for our confidence by reminding us, God did not hold back from us or keep from us, but sent his most precious treasure, his very own son. And why did he send him? Because God cares for us. The gift reflects the value he places on us. With Christmas, we celebrate God's giving of this greatest gift of all, his son, Jesus. Now, admittedly, when Paul writes, God gave him up for us all, he didn't say God gave him to us all. He's saying more than just the Christmas gift. Paul is speaking about the fact that God gave up the Son on the cross, handed him over to suffer for our sins, to be the atoning sacrifice. But as we've pointed out before in this Christmas season, that couldn't happen without Christmas. Jesus was given to the world, starting with his conception to take on flesh, and the package unwrapped and presented to the world with Jesus' birth. In fact, Jesus' birth was absolutely critical for him to be our perfect substitute. He had to be fully human. And when God gave this gift and invites us through Luke chapter 2 to look into the manger, what did you see? Did you see just a baby? Or did you see God's Lamb of Sacrifice? If you only unwrap the obvious about the events of Christmas, you will miss who it is, his nature, and his purpose of this Christmas gift, and you will miss the implications, all of which were revealed by the words of the angels and through the word that Jesus would later proclaim. When Paul makes this presentation to us, he uses a literary device called the argument from the greater to the lesser. You heard it. Indeed, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things along with him? If God's love for us would do the big thing, the hardest thing, then clearly his love will be moving him to do all the smaller and easier things that goes with his love. All those things are a complete piece of cake after giving his son. All of those things are a complete slam dunk. Of course he'll do them. And again, why will he do them? Because his love is not random. His love is faithful and consistent because he cares about us. You see, once God has invested his greatest, most expensive gift, his son, in order to reclaim us, it's his very own children sacrificing him on the cross, of course he's going to invest everything else that's necessary to keep us secure with him, to protect us from all those who are against us, and to enrich us with his gifts to strengthen and deepen our bond in him so that we do not walk away from him. But that only comes for those who unwrap all of God's gifts, all those who appreciate what comes with this gift. People who are content to know that Jesus died for their sins so that they view him as their ticket to heaven miss all the rich gifts that come with God's Christmas gift. They instead, by ignoring them and failing to think, consider, and grasp, they are actually interfering with God's work of securing them in his love. God forbid that any of us do that. Now let's take a quick look back at the rest of the things that Paul included in view of these things. In the book of Romans, Paul had listed, first of all, that because of Jesus, God set us free from the principle or the power of sin at working in us, the power that brings death with it. Second of all, Jesus has come, didn't just die for us, He completely satisfied all the requirements of the law on our behalf because we couldn't do it. Third of all, he had talked about the fact that he was going to not just save our souls, but raise our bodies from the dead. And that with his gifts, he gives us his Spirit so that we are joyfully children and heirs of God. And haven't we seen that with this Easter Christmas season as we sing the songs of Christmas that delight in being child and heirs of God through Jesus? He goes on. That through these gifts, he makes us eagerly awaiting the day when our bodies will be set free from the curse of sin and the suffering of this world. And as we go through those things, he had also added on the promise that the Holy Spirit would come and he would dwell within us so that he would intercede for us in the midst of our sufferings when we can't even put the requests to God the Father in words. The Holy Spirit will do it for us. He then comes to the words that we did read. Because of all of these things, we know that God is going to continue to work out everything for the good of those who love him. And that good is defined by the goal that he listed there, that what his purpose is not just merely to get us relocated after we die to be with him, but it's actually to conform us to the image of his Son. If you want to see what he wants for you, look at the one who was born and placed in a manger. Then you get a glimpse of what transformation he has in mind for you. Are any of these gifts things that we're willing to leave unwrapped, unconsidered, their implications? Indeed, there are far more gifts that come with Jesus at Christmas than you can possibly consider in 12 days. But let's use these 12 days to develop a practice where we take time to think, to grasp, to consider, and to grasp the full package of gifts that have come with Jesus. Because the more you unwrap, the more you pull back the layers, the more you will discover the gifts and their implications for you so that you will be moved to treasure them. Take time. Take time to unwrap and treasure God's Christmas gifts. Don't leave any of them behind. Amen. Please rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, born for us. Please turn and face the aisle, face each other, as we encourage one another in this holy Christian faith, the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one. invited to be seated. Having opened such great and amazing gifts, it's natural for God's people to want to give to the Lord, especially knowing that His gifts are used to bring this good news to others. The offering box is at the door for those who wish to make a contribution who are here in person, and in the worship folder, the information of how to present your offering to the work here at Peace is there for those who are so inclined. What a blessing it is for us to be partners in this gospel. In our prayer of the church for Christmas, please join in the responsive prayer as listed. We also include a prayer for our new mission work that is planned for London, England. Tremendous opportunity with 50 people in our fellowship in that area, but also now an influx of people from our fellowship in Hong Kong and other places. And by the grace of God, He did lead Pastor Michael Hartman to accept the call to be our first missionary there. We have a number of prayers for baptism, for birthdays. Again, I missed some last week, but we've put them all together. Tegan Payton, Schmeichel's granddaughter. Laura Clemens, Peter's birthday is last week. Cheryl Ott's birthday is today. Lizzie's is in 2 days, and the last day of this year is always Susan Hastert's birthday. Robin's sister, Peggy, is suffering from double pneumonia. She's still in tough shape, but not hospitalized. Okay. And we rejoice over a couple of things that we've been praying for. Ken Lensner's prostatectomy went very, very well, and Juliana Burney's ultrasound came back positive. It's just a cyst, nothing to be concerned about. And then Lizzie Prowitz had, as you saw in the email, surgery to remove her gallbladder. And that also went well, and she went home the same day. And we continue to pray in view of the pandemic of the coronavirus and of gun violence. So we pray. On this holy day, dear Father, we rejoice to hear the good news of great joy that the Savior has been born for us, for fulfilling your prophecies, and in the fullness of time sending your Son to be our Savior. We give you our heartfelt thanks and praise.
Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given.
What a great mystery of our faith this is, that God has become fully human for our salvation. Even though He is the all-powerful Lord of all, He is wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger.
Help us always believe that this precious child was born as our substitute to be our Savior.
Help us always believe that this precious child was born. In the midst of our joy, we grieve for the many people in our world who do not know that Jesus has come to bring them forgiveness and healing. As the shepherds spread abroad the good news of the birth of the Savior, born for all the world, may we also make sure use of the unique opportunities this holiday presents to tell others of what we have seen and heard concerning the child.
Grant that the true peace between God and fallen mankind may comfort all people.
Heavenly Lord and King, we ask you to your blessing on the Wells World Missions plans to send a missionary to the city of London, England. We praise you for providing our first missionary to London, Reverend Michael Hartman. Bless his move and grant success as we serve 50 Wells families there, as well as the many of our fellowship relocating to London from Hong Kong. If it is your will, open this door, smooth the path, and grant that our plans may come to fruition. Help overcome cultural obstacles so that we may serve natives, refugees, and expatriates alike. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Jesus, every day is a gift of your grace. Every day is a baptized child of God, is a miracle of your loving kindness. We thank you for another year of your care for Tegan, Laura, Peter, Cheryl, Lizzie, and Susan. Bless their walks with you all their days to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you, their Savior. empowered by baptism to put off the evil mindset of the flesh and put on the new holy mindset for fullness of life in you. Fill their days with anticipation for your glorious coming on the last day, when all your people will be fully restored to your glorious image forever, to dwell in the eternal rest with you, the Father and Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Jesus, we come to you asking you to watch over, protect, and bless Peggy's treatment so that by your grace she fully recovers from double pneumonia. Medication is a precious gift, but like all things, it only works by when you work through these gifts to restore health. Use this time of illness to draw Peggy closer to you. We ask this knowing that it is your goal for every trial we face in life. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we praise you for having heard our prayers and blessed Ken's surgery. According to your gracious will, bless his healing, that he may actively serve you for years to come. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Dear Lord Jesus, you knew Juliana's health long before her ultrasound. We praise you for preserving your health and for this favorable diagnosis. To you be all praise and glory. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, the gift of your own son to purchase our redemption at the cost of his blood gives us the certainty that you will care for us and give us all that we truly need. We thank you for blessing Lizzie's surgery. Bless her healing, and through this operation, bless Lizzie with better health. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Dear Lord Jesus, we come to you with heavy hearts over the 800,000 plus people who have died in our country from COVID-19. We are humbled by our inability to prevent these deaths. Our hearts go out to the healthcare workers who, in spite of their best efforts, could not prevent so many from dying. Our hearts also go out to all the families who will especially miss their loved ones as they gather with the rest of their families this Christmas season. We know the same pain is also felt by families who have lost loved ones to gun violence. Use all this emptiness and pain to draw the humbled and hurting to find hope in you. Move your people to take time to recognize the hurting and to reach out to them in love. Have mercy on our land, on the sick, the dying, their families, and those attending their care. Have mercy on us and help us address the root causes of gun violence. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear
us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. As the angels sang out their praises, move us also to sing out our praises to you today and every day as the joy of Christmas remains in our innermost beings all of our days.
Glory to God in the highest. Amen.
Now I invite you to turn to the separate sheet that was distributed to you, the Now Rejoice card for the communion liturgy, and to rise. Whoops, first. Okay, go ahead. Oh, may the good Lord be with you.
And may the Lord be with you too.
Lift your hearts to him in praise. Let us offer praises true.
It is fitting so to do, gratefully we sing hymns to the Lord our King.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, for in the wonder and mystery of his birth, you have opened our eyes to the glory of your grace and renewed in our hearts the fervor of your love. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join in this, the church in this song of praise. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant that is poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. In the Lord's Prayer.
Take and eat. This is the very mind of our Lord, who was born for us, offered unto all for your sins. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord Jesus, born for us, to be offered at Calvary, the full payment of all of our sins. Take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through his blood, he personally seals to you the new covenant blessings of the forgiveness of sins, new life that turns from you, and the seal of promise to rescue and save you all of your days. May this very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you the holy Christian faith, the life everlasting. Depart in peace, love and serve, and be saved.
Please rise and continue with the Now Rejoice communion card, offering the thanksgiving. O God the Father, source of all goodness, in your loving kindness, you sent your Son to share our humanity. We thank you that through him you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We also pray that you will not forsake us, but will rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit so that we willingly serve you day after day through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We close with the benediction. Now may the good Lord bless and keep his love in you increase. Lift up his face with shining grace and grant eternal peace.
To Father, Son,
our closing hymn is 64. Let us all with gladsome voice, hymn 64.
What a joy to gather with you on this Sunday, even though we celebrated Christmas a day late, but it's something we can always celebrate. And of course, remembering that the Christmas festival is not one day or one evening or an evening and a day. It is a 12-day festival for Christians that continues through January 5th. So I encourage you to continue to reflect on the things and unwrap the gifts, because the gifts that come with Jesus are many. Amazing, and we do not want to leave a single one of them unwrapped or untreasured. This coming week, we'll close out the new year, or this year with the old year, with the celebration of communion in a New Year's Eve candlelight service. invite you to come for that at 7:30 on the 31st, on Friday. And then next Sunday, even though it's not yet the Epiphany of our Lord, it's our practice to celebrate the festival of the Epiphany of our Lord on the Sunday before January 6th, so that falls next week. With that celebration, our Christmas will be done here in, as we gather at church. So if you can stick around and help to put away the Christmas decorations, it would be most appreciated. Of course, the following week, the 9th, is the one that you hopefully all have marked on your calendars, because that's going to be the Sunday of the call meeting, and you will have a guest pastor that will be with you, Pastor Timothy Sartorius, who will be leading you in worship on the Sunday of the baptism of our Lord. So those are things coming up. Please grab a copy of the back sheet and continue to keep the people in our prayers that are listed there, continue to praise God for those who He has graciously heard our prayers for them. There will be no Bible class today. We originally were not planning one next week, but we talked about concluding that lesson.
Yeah, we'll
finish that. So next week there will be a Bible class on Sunday to conclude that lesson that we started a week ago in Luke, Gospel of Luke. What always grieves me when I hear Christians think that all that Jesus cares about is getting us to heaven. I pray that the words today opened our eyes, refreshed our minds, got us to begin to think, consider, and grasp how great and broad and full and rich are the measure of the things that God has prepared for us, all simply summarized to conform us to the image of His Son, or, as you've heard me say, to undo the effects of the fall. May the Lord bless our Christmas as we reflect on those things. Look forward to greeting you at the door.